Early in the morning, yeah, yeah.
Called up.
When the Lord cracked the sky, hallelujah.
To see Jesus.
Can't no grave hold my body down, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Called up.
I'm gonna be called up, called up, called up.
To see Jesus.
Called up, called up, called up, called up.
Called up.
No more dying, yeah.
To see Jesus.
I got a mother waiting on me. Anybody got a mother there?
Yes, sir.
I got a father too.
Hey, hey.
I got sisters and brothers.
Called up.
I'm gonna see them again. Come on, somebody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, hey. Call up.
Come on.
Call up.
Come on. Everybody sing it with us. Come on.
Caught up.
Will you be there that day, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Caught up.
Every day will be Sunday. Hallelujah.
Caught up.
Come on, everybody, just lift your hands and worship with us. Say it.
Caught up.
If you know that when you see him, he'll say, well done.
Caught up.
Hallelujah.
Every tear, he'll wipe every tear.
Caught up.
Will you meet me there?
Hallelujah.
Will you?
In my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
in this place.
You'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this opportunity today to worship you in spirit and in truth. Allow the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching and preaching ministry to have full course, free course, in this place and more especially in our hearts this day. Open unto us the scriptures. Show us what you would have us to see and to know. And then allow the Holy Ghost to give us power as these principles are made plain, to practice them with power, so that we might receive the profit and give you all the praise. Gracious God, once again, we thank you for what this day represents in this resurrection celebration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I want to commence reading at verse 8, recorded in these words. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a while, we're speaking from our theme, Overcoming Victory. It's all right now. My brothers and sisters, when you gather the meaning of these verses read in your hearing and understand the overcoming victory through which Jesus Christ our Lord has secured for us our salvation and has secured for us the promises that belongs to the believers, you will begin to know, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is you are faced with at this present moment, you will be able to declare that it is all right now. We celebrate this day called Easter, resurrection. What does it really, 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 really mean? Does it really mean Easter bunnies and boiled eggs and candies that we can only find at Easter time? Does it really mean going out in frantic shops and looking for clothes and last minute deals? Does it really mean dressing up in hats and bonnets and looking all cute on Sunday morning and that is all? Does it really mean a one-time experience for some people who may come to church just a few times a year? Does it really mean anything far more than what tradition has given to this day for the believer? The answer is yes, it means a whole lot more than that. It may not mean a whole lot more than that to church folk, but it certainly means a whole lot more than that for believers. It gives to us far more to hope in and to hold on and to be assured of because of that great morning when Jesus himself truly ascended from the deep and made complete our salvation through the completed work of Calvary. What he did at Calvary, he confirmed resurrection morning. And when we begin to think about this, because so many of us, because of the familiarity of the term Easter, familiarity of the term Resurrection Sunday, somehow we're concerned more with the season rather than the sense of what it really means for us. I hope and pray that when you leave here today, that this won't be another Easter service you just attended. I hope and pray that if you'll go through the word with me and let the Spirit of the Lord open up your understanding, that you'll realize that when you hear the preacher say about what Jesus did on Calvary was for you personally, and what he secured by way of the resurrection gives you all of the hope and the reason to hope in the Christ who has come and paid a price and a penalty that none of us in all of our righteousness could ever pay for ourselves, it will begin to show you that the victories that Jesus himself overcame, he has given the same power to us, that same ability to us, and many of us who have lived beneath our privileges for too long will then begin to rise up and take advantage of the position we have in Christ Jesus as overcoming victors. I hope and pray when you leave here this place, this day, that you will have a personal understanding of what Jesus did for you. If nobody else does, I want you to be able to say it was glad to be in the house of the Lord to hear afresh what Jesus has truly done for me. Let's go back to the text because I want you to see some things. As we go into this word, he says, verse 8, he says, beware, and this is a word of caution. It means to pay attention, look up, behold. He says, lest any man spoil. This word spoil literally means to take into captivity, to hold you hostage, to make you a slave. It says, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Be careful of what you build your traditions on. Make sure that your traditions are not hand-me-downs from folk who just had a feeling that everything would be all right, but they didn't really know from the assured word of God that because of what Jesus did and secured for us, we have a right not only to know it, but to hope in it. And don't base your traditions of celebration on things that give God not the glory. He's saying all of these traditions handed down by men, from men, connected to men only, that does not reach up to heaven, don't waste your time in a whole lot of that, because here again, you miss God in the philosophies of men and the vain deceit that they themselves have been deceived with and that they deceive others with. How many traditions do we practice that give God no honor? How many things do we do as an honored family tradition that God gets no glory out of? And we hold them in great esteem and honor more so many times than we do the things of God. And then notice what he goes on to say in that verse. He says, clearly, after the rudiments of the world. Talking about the basic and the minor and the ABCs of the realities of this world. Going back even in our thinking, even in our processes, all the way back to the beginning. Never moving, growing, maturing, even in the things of God. Some of us have been in church so long, all we do is go to church and go through the motions. And so when situations hit our lives crumble and fall apart because we have been in church, but the church has not been in us. And so we follow tradition of going to church. We followed the tradition of doing this, and we followed the tradition of doing that, but not as it relates to understanding the Word of God, so that the Word of God could lead us in the will of God, and the will of God could reveal to us the way of God, so that we would be empowered to live life victoriously. I mean, the point comes
At what point in time in your life will you desire to do things differently, to reach another place, another plateau, another level, another dimension, so that God can bring into the fullness of your life the things that He's promised you? How much are we going to keep going through, and how many times are we going to keep going through the same things, never ever growing, never ever gaining, never ever coming to a new place in God? Look at verse 9. He says, for in Him, talking about Christ, dwells the fullness of God, the Godhead, bodily. Now, this is an important point, because I really want to get to some verses later to really magnify upon them, but I need you to understand that the fullness of God is already in Christ Himself. Everything that God has included in Himself, He's included in Jesus, as relates to the fullness of the Godhead. The nature of God is the nature of Christ. The nature of Christ is the nature of God. The fullness of what God sent Him here to do is a representative of Him, an express representative of Him. That's why Jesus say, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. In other words, it wouldn't be done any different had God come down Himself instead of sending His Son and did for you what Jesus did. It is all the same. He has been so empowered by God as to do on God's behalf everything God would have done had He been here Himself. I want you to see this, because again, when you look at this word, it says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means He came down in human flesh and form. And when He did that, He did that with the purpose of bringing us to a whole new place in Christ Jesus. One of the things you must understand is John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Move down to that 14th verse. It tells you He took on the form of human flesh to dwell with man. Why is all of that important? To recognize that what Jesus represented in the Godhead was the fullness of God's power and His persons and His purpose for planet Earth. I want you to see verse 10. And it says, and ye are complete in Him. Somebody say, complete in Him. It didn't sound like you said it. Somebody say, complete in Him. Now listen at this. If you are complete in Him, that means outside of Him, you're incomplete. You see, a whole lot of us are looking for people and looking for things and looking for possessions and looking for position and all of that to complete us, when we recognize that when in Christ, we are already complete. Listen, the person that completes you is not another man or another woman. It's not your possessions and your fame and your name. That's not what completes you. Because with all of those things, there's still a void and an emptiness. You can have everything I've named and don't have Jesus. And with all of those things, there will be something underneath the skin missing. Icebox refrigerator full of food. Ain't got no appetite. Clothes, the best that money can buy. And it dresses you up on the outside, but you're naked on the inside. Listen, money in your pocket, gas in your car, don't feel like going nowhere. The ability to do what you want to do, and yet the pursuit of those things, when you have done all of those things, add up to nothing when you really have a need for something far deeper than what this world offers you. How many times have you said in your own pursuit of worldly things, if I could just get that raise, if I could just get that job, if I had this person to be my mate, if I had this, if I had that, if I had, and the Lord let you get it. Some of us are still saying, why, Lord? See, God will let you do what you want to do sometime to show you that what you really want to do ain't what you ought to do, and it ain't really best for you. But the world thinks that it is, and we're only complete when we are in Christ. That's why Grandma used to say with a plaid dress on in her rocking chair, you can have this whole world, just give me Jesus. And that don't make no sense to people pursuing the world, because it's like, how could you be satisfied and happy with all of these things? No, or with the lack of all of these things. No, it's not that. It's the overwhelming peace. It's the overwhelming joy. It's the overwhelming assurance that when you've got Jesus, everything else will work out all right. That's what we miss when we are not complete in Him. As a matter of fact, when you begin to recognize you're complete in Him, there is nothing that you'll have need of that He won't provide for you in this world. Everything that pertaineth to life, He's already provided for you. Matthew 6:33 says, if you just put your focus on the Lord and seek after Him, He will stack around your doorsteps, paraphrase, everything you have a desire for without pursuing after Him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? All the stuff in the world. Let me ask you a question. Do you have all the stuff you need? No, nobody in here has all the stuff. But I got news for you. If you serve the source, the stuff will come. And listen at this. The stuff that does not come is not worthy to be at your house. It's not worthy to be a part of your life. Listen at this word. I want you to see something else. The Bible says, verse 10, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Right. Now, if Jesus is head of every other power, every other potentate, every principality, every authority, everybody that's got a little power, a little authority, if He is the head of all of those things and you are complete in Him, do you recognize your position?
All right. Come on.
Listen at this. If He's the head of every authority, listen to this well, every power, every person in power, everything that considers itself to be powerful, if Jesus is at the top of all of that and you are complete in Him, then do you recognize your power in the position He has given you, as you are already in the source of one who controls everything? Why do you suffer as much as you suffer? Why do you go through as much as you go through? As long as you go through it? Why do you deal with being stepped on and stomped on and walked on when you are clearly the one who's supposed to be the stepping on? Why is it you accept everything the enemy throws at you, delivers to your door, feeds to your mind, brings into your life? Why isn't it that you recognize you have power, you are complete in Him, you sit in the realm of the one who is the authoritative figure who can bring to pass every power that comes against Him in you?
Come on.
Listen at this, because I want you to see it set up the way He wants you to see it, so that when you hear again, He died that Friday that we call Good Friday, when you hear the story about how He died, you begin to recognize that there are some things that happened in His death that we can now celebrate in His resurrection. And the things that you're suffering from now, they've been nailed to the cross. And here is the point: you are suffering in vain. Going through what you don't have to go through, accepting what you don't have to accept, because He's already paid for that. And the problem is, you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. Listen again. The word says, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. He's talking about a spiritual circumcision. He's talking about the cutting away of sin that Jesus does through the spiritual circumcision, as is in the natural operation of the circumcision. He says, again, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, when we have the spiritual circumcision, we are made right in the cutting away of the sin or the power of sin over us through the spiritual circumcision that we have in Christ Jesus. Look again at verse 12. Here's where it begins to get interesting for you. It says, buried with him in baptism. Now, lest we go far and think that this is water baptism, like the baptism unto repentance that John preached, this is not the same one. That was repentance by water baptism there. This baptism is the baptism in Jesus Christ. Just like you were baptized in the water unto repentance, this baptism is a baptizing of you being submerged in Jesus Christ. It represents, again, his death, burial, and his resurrection as well. Here's what you need to see about this word. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now listen at this, because when you begin to get this understanding in your thought processes, if you were buried in him by way of baptism, it means you shared in that death that he died on Calvary. Your name was a part of the price he paid for your sins. Your sins were tacked to that cross as a result of you being baptized in Christ Jesus. Your sicknesses were also nailed to that cross. Your poverty was also nailed to that cross. Your every situation that comes against you and the word and the will and the way of God has already been dealt with through Christ Jesus. When he died, you died. But listen to this. When he got up, and everything that got up with him, you shared in the resurrection as well. So you are able to shout in a different way, not just because he rose, but because he lives, you now live. And because he lives, listen at this, you live on a higher level. Tell your neighbor, I live on a higher level. Come on, tell your neighbor, I live on a higher level. Well, maybe you need to tell yourself, self, I live on a higher level. Because I am risen in Christ. Now let me begin to show you this again, because it all starts to make sense now. Because when you look at this word again and it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. Listen at this. Through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. It's an operation of God. It's a spiritual, mystical thing that God does himself. And he ties us together with Christ to make us one as we share what God has promised for the redeemed. Look at verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickeneth together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And you being dead in your sins. Well, now, if you're dead in your sin, and I like the way Paul puts this, he's saying, listen, literally, we're considered spiritually dead before we come into Christ because of the sin issue. Now, he says, because of this sin issue, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he begins to make it clear that this is a sin flesh issue we're dealing with. He says, hath he quickened us? That means brought us to life. That means raised us. That means given to us new life. It says, together with him. Together with him. This is a process of God. He does. This is our elder brother. He paid the price for us, but he shares the spoils with us. He did the work, but he helps us to enjoy the pay. Look again, because I want you to see this. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, you know what trespasses mean? It means when you have gone beyond what is legal and lawful. When you've done that is not right. Now right there, the word says you've been forgiven all, not some, not a few. Do you know what the devil hinders and hampers us with? Unforgiveness that we may harbor in our hearts. Sins and trespasses that we may be still burdened with the guilt of in our hearts. Us not feeling worthy to lift up holy hands because of our sin and our shortcomings, our mistakes and our mess ups. And the devil holds that over our heads and